Dallas-Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. It's November 17th. It is Monday. It's noon. Good to be with you. We're live today for the Good News Show. Dave Palmer and Cecil Anderson here on KATH 910 AM, also KCPP 1140 AM, our new station out serving in the Fort Worth Diocese. So we're glad that all of you are listening as well. Great lineup today. Lots to talk about. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce you to the speaker of Saturday night's 44th annual Lewis Tolkien Dinner. This is a event where they celebrate the great Oxford greats, J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. And the speaker this year is going to be a professor at Baylor. Her name is Dr. Melinda Nielsen. She's speaking on Gift and Freedom, C.S. Lewis's idea of the university. And I love both of these writers. I love Chesterton. I love Newman. You know, there's just something was going on in England at that time, you know, 20th century, of all these amazing literary figures all kind of coming together at the same time. And so looking forward to talking to her on the phone here in just a moment. Again, this event's going to be this Saturday, November 22nd. Tickets are still available, so I'll tell you more about that. And then in the second half of the show, we are going to have a busy interview because I have very blessed to have the director of the Office of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Family Life for the Dallas Diocese, Juan Carlos Moreno, along with his associate director, Alicia Saucedo. And as if that wasn't enough, a couple of phone guests as well. Don and Mary Bailey, national representatives of Worldwide Marriage Encounter, are going to join us on the phone to talk about an event coming up Saturday, December 6th, a sponsor couple retreat, God Chose You for Me. So they're looking for couples who can help couples who are discerning marriage and are in the engagement phase. It's something I've always kind of wish my wife and I could do, and maybe we will. But anyways, we're going to have those four on the second half of the program. A lot to talk about in these first 10 minutes as well. Cecil, good afternoon. How are you? Good to see you.
It's good to see you too. I'm doing well.
All right. So let's talk about the weekend that was. You and I both, we kind of, you know, ships passing in the during the day at this event out at St. Paul the Apostle Family Center. On Saturday, the Christ Child Luncheon came back after a one-year hiatus. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was. It was super fun to be able to go back to that event. It was just really awesome because there's so many people that we know and, you know, and a lot of Catholic radio fans that go to that event. Yeah. And so I know that I spent some money to buy some Christmas gifts and things, but it was a lot of fun to see everyone there. And the setup was different. You know, typically they've been in a hotel lobby, but this year it was at the St. Paul Parish Center, and what was great is that we could see into where they were having the luncheon.
Yeah.
They had these big windows and glass doors, so it was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's very soundproof, though, so that was going on when I arrived. I think it was like 10 to noon, and then we had a live broadcast from noon to 1. Thanks to Tom and Ann Rudy and Ellen and all the folks. We had such a great lineup of guests, and we got to talk to one of the Gabriel moms, Jada, I think was her name, and her son, Kason, came on with us. He's just turned one, and one of the ladies that benefited from the GEMS program there with the CPLC. So lots of fun. This coming Saturday, I am going to be out at St. Gabriel Parish in McKinney doing a live broadcast. We haven't set the exact time, but they're doing one of these, like, turkey, you know, feeding the homeless turkeys kind of thing. And I've been working with Joey Ossam about that. So it's either going to be 9 or 10 o'clock. Well, gosh, I don't know. We'll work it out. It's going to be Saturday morning. Let's just say I'll be out there. What else? We've got a share-a-thon starting a week from Monday, December 1st through the 5th. The theme is giving the gift of faith. And we are really looking forward to that. I've been doing some interviews with various people about
some really good interviews, I might add.
Yeah,
some really good ones.
Yeah, we had one lady. I'll just give you a little kind of heads up. Her name's Tiffany, and she is not Catholic, and she's lives in Garland, or she lives in Duncanville, somewhere out there. And she called in. She wasn't Catholic, and she just kind of flips on Catholic radio, listening to it as she's driving her kids to school in the morning, and kind of, you know, enjoying it. She calls in the fall with a donation, and she didn't realize that I guess every donor got a rosary sent to them. And so all of a sudden, this non-Catholic Tiffany gets a rosary in the mail, and she starts praying it, and it's become her spiritual weapon. And so I had a chance to interview her. And it's pretty cool. But anyway, do we still need volunteers?
Yes, we do. Definitely. Okay, still need volunteers. So we have three different shift opportunities for the Christmas Share-a-thon. Monday, December 1st, we will have from 1 to 7 p.m. If you're able to help on that day, you'll get dinner. And then on Thursday, December 4th, it'll be from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. So if you're able to do any of those shifts, more than one shift, you can go ahead and email us, kath@grnonline.com, and if you'd be willing to donate a meal for our volunteers, that would be appreciated as well. There's lots of ways you can do that. You can bring it yourself, you can send a check, or I can purchase something and give you the receipt. Whatever works best for you. We are just very appreciative of your support. So again, Monday the 1st from 1 to 7, and Thursday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 7 p.m.
All right. Thanks, Cecil. And yeah, please do help us. We love having you up here. And if you can spare
we
some
have Christmas
some
hats.
Yeah, the Christmas Share-a-thon is the most fun one. We get kind of goofy. Not to say we don't get goofy the other ones, but we get particularly goofy. Yeah, a different
we
kind
get
of
festively goofy.
Yuletide goofy.
Exactly.
All right, a couple things before we go to our first guest. Let me see, which one should I do first? Oh yeah, this coming Wednesday, two days from now at 7 o'clock, we are going to be doing a webinar for GRN Academy. And if you're not familiar with GRN Academy, this is online live interactive classes. We're going to have four classes beginning in January, including Dr. Carlo Broussard, Julie Carrick, Dr. Ray Lopez, and my class as well. I'm going to teach a class on the dignity of the human person based on St. Thomas Aquinas's teaching. I got a call, an email this morning from a lady down in San Antonio, and she said she's got a 15-year-old son, and she really wants to enroll him in the dignity of the human person class, and she's going to take it as well. And wanted to know if, young people can be in the class or not. And I said, yeah, sure. They can. It's geared more towards adults, but invite you to go to the website, grnonline.com/academy, and check out the classes, and then also enroll in the webinar for this Wednesday. And if you need the link to enroll, just email me, davepalmer@grnonline.com, or you can do that same email that Cecil gave, kth@grnonline.com. And 7 o'clock, you'll hear from all the teachers and learn a little bit more about GRN Academy. But classes begin the week of January 19th, 2026. My class, again, The Dignity of the Human Person, based on the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas. Finally, I'm a little hesitant to say this because I know Cecil's just about to jump on the phone to call our first guest. So maybe, Cecil, you can get her on the line. And then, you might be getting some other phone calls here. I've got some giveaways that, this is the season, lots of things going on. And I'm so blessed to be able to give some tickets away to things. And I want to thank you for listening to this program. There's something called Christmas Joy Park that's put on by Masango and Sylvia Osong with Catholic Brain. And I'm really excited about this event. It's going to be Friday, December 19th through Monday, December 22nd in the evening, from 5 to 10 p.m. each day. And Christmas Joy Park is a celebration of Christmas. And this is like Catholic Christmas. This isn't, Santa Claus and, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean, this is like, but it's a whole bunch of fun stuff. It's like the Christmas story, and you go see St. Nick and bounce houses for the kids. It's going to be over at St. Jude Parish in Allen. And it's a family event. We're going to have a booth there and just invite you to, get tickets there. But I've got some tickets that they're allowing me to give away. So this is the first thing. Okay. I've got four tickets to Christmas Joy Park. You can go any one of those days, December 19th through the 22nd, 5 to 10 p.m. So it's evening, you know, right before Christmas. You know, it's just such a beautiful time of the year. So if you want some tickets to that, okay, because I've got three different things I'm giving away. So you got to specify to Cecil which tickets you want, okay? 877-757-9424. That's the first thing. The second thing is I have some more tickets to give away for the Fullness of Truth Advent Marian Conference, which will be Friday, December 5th through Sunday, December 7th at the Marriott Dallas Allen Hotel and Convention Center. And this is a big event. I'm going to be the MC. And speakers include Father Donald Calloway, Jeff Cavins, Monsignor Eugene Morris, Ingrid Meyer, who we had on last week talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe, Gabe Castillo, Dave and Lauren Moore. I mean, this is huge. And so I have been given the opportunity to give away some tickets to that as well. So if you want tickets to that, call and say, hey, Cecil, I want to get the Fullness of Truth tickets, 877-757-9424. And then finally, unfortunately, that same weekend is not unfortunate that the event's happening, but it's a lot of stuff being packed into that same weekend, a Celtic Christmas concert with world-acclaimed Irish tenor Emmett Cahill, which is going to be Saturday, December 6th, beginning at 7:30 p.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Keller. All right, so if you want tickets to that, I have those as well, 877-757-9424. I'll remind you about those at the bottom at the hour of the hour and also at the top of the next hour. And if you don't like, if you'd rather email than phone, just email kth@grnonline.com or 877-757-9424. Three different events. And so that's that. But sooner than that is an event that's coming up this very Saturday, November 22nd, beginning at 6 p.m. And it is the 44th annual Lewis Tolkien Dinner. Now, this is something obviously been going on a long time. And it was started by of a very happy memory, Dr. James Patrick. He was just a prince of a man and a brilliant, believed convert to the Catholic faith and passed away a couple years ago. But he started this, and it's still going strong, and it's going to be this Saturday, and it's going to be at the Cambridge School of Dallas. And the keynote speaker is Dr. Melinda Nielsen, Associate Professor of Literature in the Great Text Program at Baylor University. I'll tell you more about her, but we have her on the line, so I want to welcome her, and I think Cecil's going to get her on the line, and then I'll tell you more about Dr. Nielsen and what's going on this Saturday for the event. Dr. Nielsen, are you there? Hi, Dr. Nielsen. Good afternoon.
Great to talk to you. Hi.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for joining me. It's a great honor to speak to you, and I love what you focus on in your, you know, academic teaching. And so I want to read the bio and then get to know you a little bit more and also promote this event in case people want to still get some tickets for this Saturday. LewisTolkienSociety.org is the website. Again, it's the 44th annual Lewis Tolkien Dinner this Saturday, November 22nd, beginning at 6 p.m. at the Cambridge School of Dallas. So Dr. Melinda Nielsen, as I mentioned, Associate Professor of Literature in the Great Text Program at Baylor University. She'll be the featured speaker this Saturday at the event. Her talk is called Gift and Freedom, C.S. Lewis's Idea of a University. It echoes Henry Newman's timeless classic, The Idea of a University, about shaping character and the intellect rather than training for a vocation. And Dr. Nielsen's PhD is in English from the University of Notre Dame. She's authored more than a dozen articles on the Boethian and Chaucerian traditions. Recently, she returned to her first love, the Oxford Greats and Catholic literary culture. Her latest book is called Festival of Faith, The Sermons of John Henry Newman for the Liturgical Year. So again, we welcome Dr. Nielsen to the broadcast to talk about this event. First of all, Dr. Nielsen, tell us about your love of the Oxford Greats and who would be included in that category? Who are the Oxford Greats?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, as a child, like probably so many of your listeners, I read C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and just fell in love with the worlds that they were creating. Felt like they shed so much light on our own lives and our own world that we live in. And so the Inklings have obviously played a huge role. Dorothy Sayers, Lewis, Charles Williams, Tolkien, Owen Barfield, in modern Christian intellectual circles. I would argue, though, that even before the Inklings, you have this long tradition of studying the classics and especially of trying to really translate the great works of Western Christianity sort of into our own modern world, starting with people like John Henry Newman, Gerard Manley Hopkins, Charles Dawson, Hilaire Belloc, Ronald Knox, Evelyn Waugh. So there's really, the Inklings are participating in this very rich, rich Oxford-based Christian culture, and especially a Catholic literary culture.
Yeah, it's interesting that so many great writers were kind of concentrated in that same, you know, basically the same time in history. And G.K. Chesterton, I'm not sure if you mentioned him as well, but all those other names you mentioned. But and to think that Tolkien and Lewis, they were close friends with each other, weren't they?
Yeah, they, you know, they met for a beer about three times a week for decades. And that proximity, running into your friends, sharing students, sharing such a rich life, that builds a sort of culture and imagination that I think is hard for us when we're separated by spaces and only brought together through technology to even be able to imagine.
You know, a few of these folks that we've mentioned, including Newman and Chesterton, are converts to the Catholic faith. And I've talked to a previous speaker at this event, I think a number of times, is Dr. Peter Kraft. And I've asked him about Lewis, and who, of course, was from Northern Ireland and never converted to the Catholic faith. And Kraft has said maybe God kept him Protestant because more Protestants would read him. I don't know. What are your thoughts about, and I know Northern, I have a Northern Irish wife, and I know that's not a lot of people, especially back then, were converting probably in that country.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. So I teach at Baylor University, which is a historically Baptist school and still has a very strong Baptist and Christian identity, although it's very ecumenical and welcoming and has a strong Christian culture throughout a lot of denominations and traditions. And teaching especially the medieval intellectual tradition, texts like Boethius, Thomas Aquinas, Dante, Chaucer, Shakespeare, it's almost impossible to get through a class without either a student bringing up C.S. Lewis or me wanting to quote and turn to him as a translator of medieval Christianity. And it's truly, I think, the most striking with Dante, how deeply Lewis was immersed in medieval Christianity, a medieval worldview, which is a Catholic worldview, and was able to communicate it in ways that are compelling, beautiful, attractive, intuitive to people inside and outside of the Catholic Church. So, yeah, maybe Kraft is probably onto something important there.
Yeah. My guest is Dr. Nielsen from Baylor University, and she is going to be the speaker this Saturday at the annual Lewis Tolkien Dinner, and her talk is called Gift and Freedom, C.S. Lewis's Idea of the University. And as I mentioned in the introduction, a lot of people associate Newman, who you also have written with, about his idea of the university. And so what contribution did C.S. Lewis have to this whole idea of a university, and what's unique about his writing on this?
So Lewis does. You know, Lewis is interesting. He writes on the question of education in a lot of indirect forms, places like Abolition of Man. You know, schools crop up constantly through his fiction and his nonfiction. If you're familiar with That Hideous Strength, one of his sort of sci-fi trilogy books set in a university town. And I think what Lewis really adds to this, and I think it's especially important for people coming from a Christian background, education, is that education at its early stages is sort of being introduced to being human. And we're sort of initiated into humanity by studying the liberal arts, by studying what people have thought and believed and articulated so powerfully through the ages. But then at a university level, there's a new element of real freedom and choice that enters in, where the question no longer becomes sort of what is good for me to study or what's going to make me moral or make me a better person, but really apprenticing oneself to a particular aspect of reality and sort of being set free, like in a playground, to explore and to see where God's reality takes you in a way that isn't just predetermined by being a good person or being a useful person or so many of the things that are maybe first and foremost in educators' minds, at least, or in parents' minds.
Yeah, let's talk about C.S. Lewis in particular as a writer. It seems like he is as popular today as he was during his lifetime, if not more so. I have very close friends who gather every Friday morning for a C.S. Lewis reading group. And he wrote on such a variety of topics and of course, we could name a lot of his books and of various genres. But he, what would you say about his popularity today and his kind of staying power and remaining relevant?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. Yeah, we're coming up, it's been 100 years since he really started writing and was engaging with the modern world. And I think the way he writes is so real. It's so alive. You can hear his voice. And for someone who is so deeply knowledgeable about theology, philosophy, literature, languages, he wants to make it immediate for us, and he does it without watering it down at the same time. And people are hungry for it. People are hungry for that sort of engagement with reality, I think.
You know, one thing I didn't mention in your bio is that you had staged the first annual Tolkien Poetry Colloquium in 2025. I presume that was there at Baylor, and is guest editing those papers for a special edition of Religion and Literature. So clearly you have a great love of both, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. And it must be a great honor for you to be speaking at this event on Saturday night, where both of these men, by the very name of the society, this is the bedrock of what they're all about, is these two great men. So what does it mean to be a speaker this weekend?
Oh, I am so honored and so grateful to Daniel and to all of the board members who have made this possible. I feel like I owe so much of my own intellectual formation, my imagination, my family life, my career, my soul, and if I can say that without exaggerating, to Tolkien in particular. And the more I can do to encourage other people to dive deeper and to realize what a gift we have in having these authors available, and to take them seriously and to be grateful for them. If we lived in the time of Shakespeare, that's how I feel about living right in the aftermath of Lewis and Tolkien.
Yeah. And I know you're the mother of seven children. I'm not sure how old they are. You seem, I'm sure some of them are young, but do you find that your children or children in general continue to be drawn to the writers like Tolkien and Lewis?
Oh, yes, 100%. Tolkien in particular is someone, the movies and TV shows, I think, have made him even more widely known. But then people return to the books and realize there's so much richness and depth there. So it's really exciting how much young people, my students and my children, I think, connect and are enriched by these authors in a way that, it takes a bit more work to read Shakespeare, to read Dante, but Lewis and Tolkien just presented immediately to us.
Yeah, and one of the strange things you mentioned about the 100th anniversary coming up, of his birth, because he died the same. So Lewis died the same day as JFK got assassinated, didn't he? And that seems so unfortunate. I guess it's anything's unfortunate, especially the assassination. But for him to die because so much of the world was so much focused on JFK, which rightfully so, because it was so tragic. But maybe his death got a little bit lost back then in '63 when he died. Would you say?
Yeah, and you know, the same thing happened with Mother Teresa and
Princess Diana. Yeah.
Right? There's sort of, one gets the publicity and the other sort of slides under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think it seems to have dampened any enthusiasm for C.S. Lewis's work. As we mentioned, he still remains very popular himself. The event is going to be this Saturday. It's the 44th annual Lewis Tolkien Dinner. If you would still like to get tickets, it's going to be at the Cambridge School of Dallas. And just interesting, I just interviewed their headmaster, a brilliant man, just about a week ago at the Cambridge School of Dallas. And if you'd like to get tickets, go to LewisTolkienSociety.org. LewisTolkienSociety.org. It's going to begin at 6 o'clock this Saturday, November 22nd. And which I think is going to be just about the anniversary of C.S. Lewis's passing, if memory serves. And a lot of people, this is an annual tradition. Maybe you go every year, and for other people, it might be something that you're doing for the first time. But it's a very unique event, you know, celebrating these two amazing men. And the keynote speaker will be Dr. Melinda Nielsen, Associate Professor of Literature in the Great Text Program of Baylor University. And Dr. Nielsen, I want to ask you about the most recent book, as I mentioned, Festivals of Faith, the Sermons of St. John Henry Newman for the liturgical year. Were you surprised that he has now been declared by Pope Leo to be a doctor of the church? A good timing, I guess, with your book.
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I think there's been a lot of people who have been praying for this for a long time and have been, I won't say pushing for it, but have been very much aware of what a rich legacy he left, and optimistic that he would be recognized as the doctor that he indeed has been. So yeah, thanks be to God for that. And thanks be to Pope Leo for recognizing what an impact he's had on modern Catholicism.
And let me ask you, for people who are listening right now, there's probably some people that have never picked up Lewis or Tolkien for that matter. And let me go with each of them. If somebody's listening right now and they're like, gosh, you know, I know C.S. Lewis has a whole lot of books, where should I begin? What would your recommendation be for the first book to read by C.S. Lewis? And then I'll ask you the same thing for Tolkien.
Oh, that's an unfair question. That's too hard. I think probably a lot of people just love Screwtape Letters and return to it over and over again. You have, you know, his wit and his sense of humor showing up. You have his deep spiritual insight into human nature, the sort of anatomy of temptation and grace and redemption there. So, you know, my children actually read Screwtape Letters a lot, my older children. And it feels like, you know, Lewis sort of has you on the surgeon's table and is feeling his way through your own heart and knowing you better than you know yourself when you're reading Screwtape Letters often.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah, of course, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series is really nice for children as well. And, of course, Tolkien is very, synonymous with the movie series. Anything for Tolkien, or what would you suggest if somebody wanted to just kind of get an introduction to Tolkien?
So, The Lord of the Rings is his masterwork, and I know it's a big page count. It is. I wish it were longer, though, because the epic journey that he takes us on is the journey that we're all walking in life. So even though, you know, The Hobbit's a little bit more accessible, he has a lot of beautiful essays and short stories like On Fairy Stories, which is just a great essay. I think you've got to start with The Fellowship of the Ring and just give yourself over to the journey, the quest.
Yeah, I remember I was in a homeschool group one time, and they were asking the homeschool kids, you know, what's your favorite book? And they said, other than The Lord of the Rings, because it was just kind of like almost like a given that was going to be your favorite book series.
The Silmarillion has a reputation for being a little hard, but if it's only about 120 pages, if you are actually just looking at the page count. And I actually start my students there when I teach Tolkien, and not with The Lord of the Rings. And I think it opens up like a whole nother world in a way that is different from our O's, has a sort of fairy sparkling air to it. So that's another great place and not something to be daunted by.
Yeah. Well, let me give you just 30 seconds or 45 seconds to give your own pitch for this weekend, but I just want to give everybody the details. It's this Saturday, the 22nd of November, 6 p.m. It's the Lewis Tolkien Dinner, sponsored by the Lewis Tolkien Society. You can go to lewistolkiensociety.org, and the keynote speaker will be Dr. Melinda Nielsen, who I've been speaking to, Associate Professor of Literature in the Great Texts Program at Baylor University. So anything else you'd like to say about this particular event to encourage people to go to that website and buy a ticket, Dr. Nielsen?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be with you all on Saturday. I think it looks like a wonderful, wonderful group of people and an annual tradition that I'm excited to become a part of and meet everybody there. Spend some time enjoying our fellow love of Lewis and Tolkien and the timeless truths of love and freedom and learning that they present so beautifully. So really looking forward to it.
Thank you. Well said. LewisTolkienSociety.org, LewisTolkienSociety.org. And also want to just one more time highlight the very timely book that Dr. Nielsen has just published, Festivals of Faith, The Sermons of St. John Henry Newman for the liturgical year. That well, actually came out in 2023, so it's not brand new, but it's her most recent book, Seneca Press, and she must have had a sense that Newman was going to be a doctor of the church one day, and here it is, and so that's quite exciting. Dr. Nielsen, thank you so much, and we're looking forward to welcoming you to this part of town for the event this Saturday evening.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much. And this is the Good News Show. Thanks for joining us. And Cecil has gotten some calls for those tickets. I just want to remind you, if you would like to go to the Fullness of Truth event conference with Father Donald Calloway and Jeff Cavins and a bunch of other speakers, the weekend of December 5th through the 7th, call. I'll give you the phone number at the end of several times. We also have tickets to the Emmett Cahill concert Saturday, December 6th at St. Elizabeth and Keller. And then we also have Christmas Joy Park tickets. Okay, that's going to be a little later in the month, December 19th through the 21st. Is that right? 19th through the 21st. And that's going to be at St. Jude and Allen. So we got all those tickets. People have been generously giving us tickets to give away on the program. Just call 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. You can also email kth@grnonline.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, among other things, the Office of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Family Life for the Catholic Diocese of Dallas with the Director Juan Carlos Moreno and the Associate Director Alicia Salcedo, and in particular about a sponsor couple retreat, God Chose You for Me, which is happening, wouldn't you guess it, Saturday, December 6th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at St. Monica Catholic Church in Dallas. And so let's take a break, and we'll come back and speak to these fine guests. And also Don and Mary Bailey from Worldwide Marriage Encounter are going to join us as well. We'll be right back.
Be renewed in faith, hope, and love during a four-night parish mission this fall. The parish mission, Why Be Catholic, will take place from Monday, November 17th through Thursday, November 20th at 7 p.m. at St. Anne Catholic Parish in Sherman. Father Ken Geraci, a well-known author and speaker with the Fathers of Mercy, will guide you to a deeper understanding of the Catholic faith and your relationship with Christ. For more information, visit St. Anne's website at stmarych.org and click on Events.
This is Rick Self with Catholic Brothers for Christ. I'm inviting men 16 and older to register now for the 15th annual North Texas Catholic Men's Conference. The Saturday, February 28th, men's faith event will take place at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Plano. Together, we stand firm as warriors for Christ in a fallen world. Our guest speakers and sacramental moments celebrated will help us be better equipped to face the relentless battles of life. Visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com for details and to register.
St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Keller will host their fourth annual Christ the King Eucharistic Procession and Prayer event in downtown Keller on Sunday, November 23rd, beginning at 2:30 p.m. All are invited to join to help us spread the word as we witness to Christ's true presence in the Blessed Sacrament and pray for our city, state, county, and world. For more information, visit the parish website at seascc.org. That's seascc.org.
St. Joseph is the patron saint of the home and family. At My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine, we support the Guadalupe Radio Network's mission of honoring and supporting home and family as longtime sponsors of KATH 910 AM. We're Bob and Norma Duane, owners of My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine. We would be honored to speak with you about all your mortgage needs. We can be reached at 817-527-3166. That's 817-527-3166. We are an equal housing lender, NMLS 265303.
Jesus was a healer. He walked the roads of Galilee bringing hope and comfort to the afflicted, like the men of Project Joseph. We know the pain of abortion loss and what a heavy burden it is. Through Project Joseph, Jesus made light our burdens and sent us out to help other men with that same pain. Call 469-720-CARE to find God's mercy. Jesus can heal you too, if you'll let him.
And they'll be leading the retreat.
Looking for a career move where you can put your faith into action as you build relationships within your local community? Decided Excellence Catholic Media is one of the fastest growing private media companies in North America. We are seeking media, marketing, and sales professionals who want to join our team to produce exclusive faith-filled magazines that support local businesses. To learn more about Decided Excellence Catholic Media, please visit DecidedExcellence.com. That's DecidedExcellence.com.
All right, we are back, and this is the Good News Show here on November 17th, 2025. Thanks for joining us, and great to talk to our last guest, Dr. Nielsen, about this event on next Saturday. And I mentioned that first full weekend of December is going to be very busy. There's a lot going on. We've got those tickets to several events that CISO has been answering calls for. She'll give us a little update here at the end of the program about how that's going, but I still have a lot to give away, but I want to turn my attention now to Juan Carlos Moreno, Director of the Office of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Family Life for the Diocese of Dallas, and also Alicia Salcedo, Associate Director of the Office of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Family Life. So I feel like if I ever had any questions about the Office of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Family Life, this is my opportunity because I got the two jefes here in studio with me, the two chiefs. And so great to have you both here. Thanks for joining me. And Alicia, thank you for organizing this. I know you've been my main point of contact. Make sure you get real close to that microphone there.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
And also on the phone, do we have our phone guests as well? Okay, we've got on the phone with me Don and Mary Bailey, who are national representatives of Worldwide Marriage Encounter. And I know, Don and Mary, I think you're sharing a phone there. So do I have y'all with me?
Yes, you have Don and me with you.
All right. Good signal, too. Boy, I tell you, it sounds great. So thank you so much. I'll come to you in just a moment. One of the things we're going to be talking about is a sponsor couple retreat. And you guys, you might want to turn the radio down in the background because I think it's feeding back.
Sorry, that was a fumble, literally, of the phone.
Okay, I hope you recovered the fumble.
Yeah.
Okay, so couples who prepare for engaged couples for marriage, there's going to be a couples retreat coming up on Saturday, December 6th. At St. Monica's, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let me first bring in Juan Carlos Moreno, Director of the Office of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Family Life of the Diocese of Dallas. Tell us more about the office. I think the title kind of speaks for itself, but what kind of things other than this main topic we're talking about do you guys do?
Yes, Dave. Well, thanks for having us. And the stated purpose for our office is basically to call forth the gifts of the laity and to empower men, women, married couples, families, because our office encompasses all of those areas, in their universal call to holiness, right? Mm-hmm. And to accompany them, providing resources. So we do that by providing trainings we also support the parish catechetical leaders. So we provide trainings and retreats like the one that we're going to be talking about in order to help them be effective in their ministry with the people of God in the Diocese of Dallas.
Yeah, and that's a pretty broad couple of, few areas here. Evangelization, catechesis, and family life. That's pretty broad. And then when you add the I guess what, I don't know how many dozens and dozens of parishes in the Diocese of Dallas. How do you guys handle all that? That's quite a job.
About 77 parishes, and we do it collaboratively. I mean, there's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
Our office encompasses from womb to tomb, so to speak, formation, evangelization. And so we do a lot of collaborative efforts with the other offices in the diocese. We collaborate in some retreats or with the Office of Youth and Young Adults. We had in October a wonderful retreat for middle schoolers because we work in the area of confirmation, and in Dallas the bishop confirms during the eighth grade. So we work together with the Office of Youth and Young Adults, and we had about 600 plus young people in that retreat.
Oh, really?
So that gives you an example of the only way to do it is collaboratively uniting forces with partnering with other offices. And for the retreat that we're talking about, even with organizations outside the diocese. So we have to do it in collaboration with other people.
And Alicia, Juan Carlos mentioned, 77 parishes. And how does the diocesan office work with the parishes? Because I know they all have their own events going on and a certain element of autonomy. And then what is the relationship between the diocese and the individual parishes for events involving evangelization, catechesis, and family life?
Yes, thank you, Dave. Most of all, it's like Juan Carlos mentioned, it's a collaboration. You know, they let us know what they're having or what they would like to have in their parish, depending upon the needs, individual needs, because as you may know or understand, every parish has its own culture, per se.
Mm-hmm.
And so depending upon the needs, when they have reached out and they want to collaborate with the diocese to bring something to their parish and or share what they're already having so that we can help promote it, so that's one of the main ways. And I'll give you an example. We have been working with a couple of parishes with the divorce ministry. And mm-hmm. so we support in every way, you know, either financially or with the speakers, so forth and so on, so that they can provide a service or start building a support group that has to do with divorce or separated. And mm-hmm. that's just to give you an example. Another collaboration has been the family rosary once a year led by Bishop Burns. And so we ask parishes, or they have called and said, how can we collaborate with the diocese? We'd like to have we would like to host the family rosary here at our parish. And so those are some ways.
Yeah, very nice. So talk about this sponsor couple retreat, God Chose You for Me. I'll bring Don and Mary Bailey into the conversation in just a moment. But the collaboration between the diocese mm-hmm. and then the Worldwide Marriage Encounter, how did this all come together, that collaboration?
Well, Worldwide Marriage Encounter has been an organization that we have been working with for the past 8+ years by means of, they support our events, specifically the Golden Anniversary, the Newlywed Mass, enrichment retreats by showing up, providing their own resources, because Worldwide Marriage Encounter is an enrichment program for couples that are already married
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they need that extra support in their marriage. Additionally, Worldwide Marriage Encounter is one of our non-parish based organizations. So we have been delighted, you know, by working with their collaboration. They are always present. They are always in alignment with the diocesan requirements to ensure when they bring, you know, visiting priests, or they're hosting their retreats in hotels or in different places, that they're in alignment with what we require of them to make sure that everything is taken care of, permissions are done, and their program is absolutely wonderful. They're in different parishes here in our diocese, both in English and Spanish. So it's been great to be able to count with their support.
Yes, and as I mentioned, Don and Mary Bailey, National Representatives of Worldwide Marriage Encounter. And Alicia was saying that the Vatican has now recognized Worldwide Marriage Encounter as something with the dicastery, or what is the latest news, Don and Mary, as far as the recognition from the Vatican of Worldwide Marriage Encounter? Are you Yeah, go ahead.
It's not really out for public consumption yet. But,
it is now. I'm sorry.
The word is that in March, it will officially be signed in the Vatican that we would be recognized literally worldwide in all of the different languages that Worldwide Marriage Encounter presents in, that, you know, we're the go-to marriage ministry for the church.
Yeah. And Mary, can you talk about you and Don and what got you involved in Worldwide Marriage Encounter in the first place, and how has it blessed your marriage?
Yeah, I'll say a little something, and then I'll let Don speak, too. We had been married about 10 and a half years when we attended what we call a traditional weekend experience. We went on this weekend, and we came out the other side of this weekend just totally rejuvenated in our marriage and in the way we looked at our marriage and in the way we understood ourselves as husband and wife. And it made all the difference in the world. And ever since that weekend, we have been working and evangelizing for Worldwide Marriage Encounter. That was back in 1989, but I'm not that old, so we won't do the arithmetic. I'll let Don talk what it meant to him.
You know, I thought we had a great relationship. Just a second, get to mute on it. Came back off. We're sorry. We're trying to do this with one phone, and it's sort of working. So I thought we had a great marriage before we went. I had just become a Catholic and didn't understand all this sacrament of marriage stuff. I was in the first RCIA class in Hawaii, and at about the same time, we'd gotten invited to go, and I put up a whole bunch of excuses not to go for 2 years. I was in the Army, and it was really easy to do, and finally I ran out of excuses. And we went, and quite frankly, to be honest with you, the relationship we had after the weekend is more than I ever dreamed we would have. You know, you have these ideas of what your marriage is going to be like when you get married, all these expectations. I have so far exceeded those and wish that I had those 2 years back when I was making excuses to not go, because I didn't think we needed it. We had a good relationship. But the relationship we've got now, I never want to go back to after all these years.
Yeah, and tell me, if you would, Don, about the importance. You know, Alicia mentioned a moment ago about the divorce ministry, which, of course, is needed, but it's unfortunate that marriages come to the point of divorce and annulment. But I would imagine the couples who are preparing other couples for marriage, I mean, this is to address the kind of concerns the couples are going to have before they get married, so that by the time they get married, they're not going to have too many surprises. So what kind of topics and, you know, things are taught in when you're speaking to couples who are preparing engaged couples for marriage?
Well, we were involved in the marriage preparation ministry for about 15 years here at our parish in College Station. And we taught them, the basic things of, you know, how to heal and forgive each other, you know, ask for and receive forgiveness. How to make the decision to love each other on a daily basis, because marriage isn't easy. It's, you know, your wedding day is a day. It's not the rest of your life, and then you have to work at it. We cover some other things that are along those lines in the marriage program that we had. The program we're doing for Alicia in the Dallas Diocese is actually to strengthen the bond and strengthen the matrimonial spirituality of the couples who are going to attend. You know, your matrimonial spirituality is rooted in the love of the husband and the wife, and it's that reflection of God's presence that the rest of the world sees in that couple together. And so what we're going to do is invite the couples to come in and learn from that through a series of chapters. You know, Father Larry Brault, who is from Massachusetts, who's one of the authors of this particular one-day program we're doing, has said that, you know, once you have said yes to the sacrament of matrimony, the primary way God calls you to him is through your married relationship. Because, you know, married relationships is what's going to say, in our opinion, you know, is needed in the world right now more than anything else, when, you know, the idea of marriage is, you know, kind of a throwaway kind of thing. And, you know, the whole society is, you know, kind of anti-marriage, if you will. And we believe that once couples are introduced to what being married and what their sacrament means, that they'll become closer and they'll be a better reflection of God's love, and therefore will change the world through the process.
Don and Mary Bailey, National Representatives of Worldwide Marriage Encounter, joining me on the phone. And we also have in studio Alicia Saucedo, Associate Director of the Office of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Family Life for the Dallas Diocese, and also Juan Carlos Moreno, who is the director of that same office as well. And Juan Carlos, my understanding in talking to you all before we came on the air is that you're not so much recruiting people to come to this retreat. You've already kind of got your sponsor couples. How many approximately couples in the Dallas Diocese are doing this already, and how do you find these people?
It's hard to say. I don't know that we've had a count anytime lately, and it varies by parish. Some may have a good group, a corpus of a few couples that they tap so that they can accompany these couples. But certainly, it's such a beautiful ministry of accompaniment, of being there for the couples. I mean, I would say that we have over 100 of these couples that throughout the diocese in different parishes work with these couples to their role vary from parish to parish as well. I mean, it could be as simple as accompanying them, being with them through the formation sessions, all the way to being an actual catechist of the sacrament as well. And so these folks have a very important role in being witness to them of the church's teaching and the church's love and support for them. And so that's why we want to offer them this type of event, because, as you know, we cannot share that we don't have, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that they are well-formed, that they have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can share that grace and that relationship with these couples in this very important period of their lives.
Yeah, and Alicia, I know there's a couple different levels here, is that the ministry is to the engaged couples, but this retreat is for the couples who will be ministering to the engaged couples. And I guess the whole point here is that if those couples don't have strong marriages, they're not going to be able to give what they don't have, right? So
absolutely.
Strengthen them so that they can turn around and then strengthen the other couples who are preparing for marriage. Is that about how it is?
Absolutely. It's to create a space for them to enrich their own marriage and just all across the board discover new ways to connect. Because as Don was mentioning, it's important for couples to continue enriching and growing, even if they're the ones providing the marriage preparation. It's of essence for them to continue allowing themselves a space for formation and retreat, you know, to continue to connect,
mm-hmm.
as Juan Carlos mentioned, because it can it's difficult, you know, to give what you don't have, in other words. And so the purpose of this retreat is to allow couples to reaffirm their vocation as a married couple, to strengthen their ministry, to build spiritual and practical skills, for them to realize the importance of fostering community among sponsor couples that's rooted in Christ. And so it's our duty as the office, the diocesan office, to create this space for them. And, you know, what better than with one of the best organizations that cater to marriage, like Worldwide Marriage Encounter. And so therefore, our reason for being here is to extend an invitation to those couples that are ministering to engaged couples to come. To join us. This is also a gift from our bishop to them because of the wonderful work that they're doing as they prepare and walk alongside the couples that are preparing for the Holy Sacrament of Matrimony.
And the couples who are preparing to get married, is it mandatory that they do some kind of one-on-one, you know, preparation with a couple like this? Or what's required of folks who are desiring marriage in the Dallas Diocese?
For couples that are preparing for marriage?
Yeah. Is it mandatory that they have training with a married couple in advance of their marriage? Is this required, or is this just a
Absolutely. It is a requirement. And I hate saying it a requirement because that's always so harsh, right? Marriage preparation or any preparing for any sacrament should feel more of my heart desire, you know, to want to learn about my faith and prepare for the particular sacrament that I'm there to prepare for. But to answer your question, yes, it is a requirement that engaged couples go through a process, prenuptial process, it's called. And it's so many moving pieces. So there's the legality per se side of it, where they have to turn in documents and go through those prenuptial steps of turning in the paperwork, interviews. The other side is the actual marriage preparation program slash process. And it depends on what the particular parish they're working with is offering. And sometimes it's on one-on-one, and it could be a few weeks where they prepare. They discuss different areas of marriage. And there's other parishes that they offer weekends of preparation. Mm-hmm. What we offer at the diocesan level is weekends to support parishes, you know, if they have couples that missed their own marriage preparation weekend, or they couldn't make the couple-to-couple sessions for whatever reason. I mean, there's so many reasons. Sometimes there are couples that are very limited with their the time that they have available in the evenings, or they're long distance, or they're military couples. So for whatever reasons, sometimes they can't complete their preparation at their parish, and that's where we come in.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate both of you all being here. We have Juan Carlos Moreno and also Alicia Salcedo, the director and associate director, respectively, of the Office of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Family Life. And there's a lot of other things going on. You want to mention that real quickly? You got an Advent Day of Reflection. And I do want to thank Don and Mary Bailey, representing Worldwide Marriage Encounter. As they mentioned, there's going to be some big news coming out in the spring having to do with Worldwide Marriage Encounter and recognition from the Vatican. But that's coming up. So Juan, Carlos, do you want to real quickly, just have about 30 seconds remaining, talk about a couple of other events coming up?
Yes, another great event that we have, and this one is for any person in ministry, parish ministry, is an Advent Day of Reflection that will be conducted by yours truly with the topic of Our Lady of Guadalupe as Woman of Advent. So it's another wonderful opportunity to take a moment to reflect and our preparation for the coming of our Lord in Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Alicia.
And lastly, for questions about either event, please call us at directly at 214-379-2881, and we'll be happy to provide registration information.
214-379-2881. Thanks to both of you. And also, Don and Mary, thank you very much for taking time to be with us on the program. I think you said down in College Station, is that where you are?
We live in College Station, so we're in the Austin Diocese, but we'd like to thank Juan Carlos and Alicia for allowing Worldwide Marriage Encounter to, you know, offer this day for their sponsor couples.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. It's good collaboration. Thank you so much for being part
thank
of the
you.
Program. And I just want to close out by thanking all the guests in the program today and also remind you that there are some other tickets. I don't know how many calls Cecil has gotten, but if you would like to go to the Fullness of Truth Conference on December 5th through the 7th in Allen with Father Calloway,